he has said, nothing is impossible with God. Can we relate that to our individual lives, and how does that affect us? Maybe people that are listening today that are sick in their body, or maybe they've had a rough year and finances are tough. You want to comment on that whole thing of nothing is impossible with God?
Well, I did read something one time. If we would stop telling our problems, or stop telling our God how big our problems are, and start telling our problems how big our God is.
Amen. Yes.
That we probably would have better results.
Exactly.
I just think that, you know, it takes building a faith, and God is an ever loving and ever wonderful God who shows us in small ways and sometimes big ways that he is who he says he is.
Amen.
And it seems like the ones of us that have some of the biggest doubt are the ones that he gives us big answers to help build that faith.
Amen. That's
he
a good point.
To build that relationship with us.
Yes.
And he knows that we're a kind of people who have to have proof.
Right.
Kind of like doubting Thomas.
Right. Yes. And so often, yes, he does answer in big ways, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And sometimes it's just like, wow, you know? And the whole thing is to get our faith built up. And I think that's why at this season, I love to go back and talk about these prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus, because God said in advance what was going to happen. And he did it just the way he said he was going to do it. How does that speak to the impossible situations that some of us feel we're going through right now?
Well, he knows. He said he's going to do it, and then he does it.
Amen.
And then he tells us he did it.
Right.
And once again, it's having that faith, but he helps us build the faith.
Yes, yes. And that's where the word, and going back over these stories and these accounts of what happened, you know, at the time of the birth of Jesus, builds our faith, because we realize, wait a minute, God said he was going to do this, and then he did it, you know? Mm-hmm. And now we read about it, and he says, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I told you I was. I did it, you know? And so often we allow, don't you think, Connie, perhaps the devil to get in there and say, you know, God's not going to work in your behalf. He's not going to do this for you. He's not going to answer that prayer. What's the matter with you? Why do you think God's going to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm. He's got bigger things to do.
Right. I mean, don't you think?
About you.
Oh, yeah. Don't you think that the devil comes and throws those questions and those doubts and those times of absolutely wondering where God is? And I think knowing this story and knowing the account of the prophecies and then the fulfillment of those prophecies, what it does to me is build my faith that God is true to his word, you know? And how does that apply to the person sitting out there today, Connie, that is going through tremendous struggles and problems in their life?
I guess I would just say take a chance.
That's good.
You know, read
right.
about what he has done in the Bible.
Right.
The Bible. And, you know, ask him, tell him what you need.
Right.
And then wait.
Yes. Yes.
And wait, believe that he's going to give it to you.
And believe that he's going to do it. And mm-hmm. just like Mary, she believed that God was going to fulfill what he said, you know? Tell us about this next song that you have. We're getting ready to play another Todd Agnew. So you were into Todd Agnew this weekend, it looks like.
This one is called In the First Light. And it just talks about when they first realized that Jesus had been born.
Okay.
And the things that happened, and then what his whole purpose of being here is.
Right.
And then the angels singing, and then they ended this song. They kind of melded in the song, Do You Hear What I Hear?
Yeah, oh, that's a great, isn't that a wonderful song? It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Jim's going to be calling in after that, probably. Connie, if you want to stay on, you can, or if you need to do other things, we understand. So
it's
your call. It's whatever you want to do.
Okay.
So this is a great song. Let's listen. In the First Light, or Do You Hear What I Hear?
In the first light of a new day, no one knew he had arrived. Things continued as they had been, while a newborn softly cried. But the heavens, wrapped in wonder, knew the meaning of his birth. In the weakness of a baby, they knew God had come to earth.
God, a child is born. Hallelujah. You're listening to the Sunday Before Christmas live radio show from Beacon of Hope Ministries, Living the Good Life. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. We're glad you're with us. Connie's been on. Connie, did you leave? I think she did. Okay. All right. Is Pastor Jim on yet?
Oh, yeah.
All
I'm
right.
Here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Hey, how are you? It's good. We were having some call-ins today because everybody had other things going on, right? So, yes. It's a
busy time.
Pastor Jim, that day that the shepherds came to the little hillside where they were taking care of his sheep, and in Luke chapter 2, and it says here that, and we are down about verse 8, there were shepherds camping. They had set night watches over their sheep. And then I love the next word in verse 8 of Luke 2, because in the Message Bible, it says suddenly. And I love that, because suddenly God's angel stood among them and God's glory blazed around them and they were terrified. Can you picture that, Pastor Jim, what that had to be like and what these shepherds were doing when all this happened?
It was me, because I just imagine the entire sky lit up. I mean, just from the glory of that one angel, and like you, I think it was probably Gabriel again.
Right, yes.
And it says, the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And that's, you know, referring to that glory cloud that led Israel out of Egypt.
Yes.
So that blazing glory, I like kind of the way that the message says it, a blaze. That glory.
Yes.
and you know, like the shepherds, I think I would be, to quote the King James, sore afraid. Terrified.
Terrified.
If that happened to me.
Right. But it's so interesting, these shepherds, Pastor Jim, because it says the angel said, don't be afraid. So the angel recognized immediately that there was a human tendency to be afraid in a situation like this. You know?
Right. Well, and if you look even with Zechariah and with Mary.
Right.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. That's right. That's right. The angel said that to both Zechariah and Mary. You're right.
Right.
So that just speaks to me that God knows our human tendencies, right?
Exactly. I mean, when we're confronted with God in whatever, whether it be an angel we're reading the Bible and a scripture just jumps out at us, I think one of our first tendencies is to be afraid.
Right. Because go ahead. Why? Go ahead.
Well, I think part of it is, you have this visitation from God in whatever form it takes, and that usually is going to call for a change.
That's huge.
It means something's going to change. God is moving, and whenever God moves, there's change. God doesn't move to keep things the way they are.
You know, that is profound, because Connie and I were talking on the first half of the show about our service this morning and the very strong presence of God among us. And there was a call by the Spirit of God in our service for people to recognize God in their lives and to recognize that God is speaking and wants to do something fresh and new in our lives. Did you hear that? Did you feel that this morning?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I think it's the new year is always a good time to kind of reevaluate where we're at,
right,
individually, and in our walk with God, and then also just looking forward in anticipation and excitement. I think
yes,
what's God going to do now?
Don't you think it's interesting that we kind of wrap up the old year with this story, again, reminded of what Jesus did and how God sent his son to this earth and all these events? They're faith builders to me, Pastor Jim. As I start a new year, it's like, okay, I'm reminded of how big God is. And Connie mentioned it a minute ago, how big God is. Speak to our problems and say, hey, you haven't seen my God. He's huge. He can handle this,
like we did talk about this morning at the service.
Yes.
Gabriel told Mary, nothing is impossible with God.
Amen.
You can take a virgin,
right,
and miraculously fertilize her egg.
Exactly.
And it's the Son of God.
Right.
So if you can do that, and look at Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead after 4 days.
Exactly.
And Jesus himself being resurrected. Nothing.
Nothing's impossible. And Pastor Jim, I mentioned to Connie earlier, and I'll say it to you, I think towards the end we need to pray for some people that have physical problems and have huge issues in their lives, because this is the theme of this December for Beacon of Hope, that we serve the God of the impossible.
Amen.
which really takes us to this verse. Nothing is impossible with God, which is what the angel Gabriel said to Mary. That's what you're saying here, you know?
Right.
Go back with me to these shepherds. I want to talk about them a minute, because the angel says, don't be afraid. I'm in about verse 9 of Luke 2. And then the angel says, I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. And I love those two words in the Message Bible. Do you want to say how it's, what, I don't know what translation you have in front of you, but.
I have New International Version.
And what does it say there where it says this great event is meant for who?
For all the people, not just some of the people.
All the people.
But all the people.
Okay, does that include you?
It includes me, it includes you, it includes kings, it includes peasants, it includes every race, everybody. This great event, the coming of God to earth in Jesus,
yes,
is meant for every single person on the face of this planet.
Amen. And it's also meant for us to learn to receive all the benefits that come from that relationship with Jesus. The things that I was saying a minute ago about his name, that it means Savior, Deliverer, you know, safety, helper, you know, all of these things, prosperer. And as we pray for people in a little while, Pastor Jim, they've got to get this down. We all have to get this down on the inside of us, that there is no distinction. There are no favorites. God does not say, well, I just love these over here because, you know, they're special to me. When Jesus came to this earth, he meant to include everyone, not just the Jews. Am I correct about that?
You are very correct. I guess that's kind of a oxymoron. Very correct.
Very yes, correct.
Definitely. You are correct. And I mean, you know, Jesus, of course, his primary mission was to the Jews. He was
yes.
Jewish.
Yes.
But, especially in the Gospel of Luke, you see the universality of the call of God.
Yes.
To
yes,
women,
you do.
To lepers, you know, the outcasts.
Right.
To the tax collectors, to, you know, nobody was too low,
right,
for Jesus to reach out to them.
He loves and accepts and forgives every single one of us.
Exactly.
And that's one of the main themes of our ministry at Beacon of Hope, is it not, Pastor Jim?
Yes.
We're a diverse group, are we not?
Yes, we are.
We got people from a lot of walks of life, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, racially and in every other way. And it's just, that is to me a blessing of the gospel, one of the huge blessings of the gospel, that God does not put us in a little box and say, you got to be just this way, look this way, da, 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 in order to receive salvation or healing or anything else.
Amen.
These shepherds, I'm sure, did not go through that little litmus test, if you will, that a lot of religious people put on people. You gotta look a certain way, you gotta dress a certain way, you gotta have your hair a certain length and all that thing. The shepherds were there at the right time, and they were willing vessels, and so was Mary, to see what God wanted to do. You
right.
know?
And the shepherds, I mean, drawing a parallel to what you just said, shepherds would have been looked upon as, you know, like fourth-class citizens
exactly.
by the religious elite.
Yes,
back
yes.
then, because shepherds probably, they might have known how to read, but they wouldn't have been well-versed in the law.
No.
They wouldn't have known all the ins and outs like, say, the Pharisees did.
Right. Good point.
And yet, here comes the angel. The angel didn't go to the high priest or any of the priests or
Don't
the scribes
oh,
or
yes.
the Pharisees to announce this. The angel went to the shepherds.
I think that is huge, and I'm so glad you brought that point up, because you would think that the angel would go to the high priest of the Jewish, you know, in Jerusalem there, of the synagogue is what I'm trying to say. The
right,
highest of
right.
the high, don't you think? I mean,
well, you know, it would make sense, because we think humanly that, you know, and this is going to sound really bizarre, but think, what do we always say when, you know, we joke about like an alien
right.
coming down? What's the first thing they say? Take me to your leader.
Oh, that's true.
And,
good point.
You know, on human terms, we think we've got to go to the top.
Okay.
You know, we
okay.
need to get, like, you know, take me to President Obama or
right.
whatever.
Right.
And yet, that wasn't what they did.
No.
The angel did not appear. And, I mean, given what the angel said, for unto you was born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. That would have been a nice message for the chief, for the high priest to have heard. But instead, they announced it to the shepherds.
Oh, praise God. You preach that. Preach that, Pastor Jim.
And it just, considering, I mean, looking forward in Jesus' life, who did he have the most specific? It wasn't the common people.
Right, right.
It was the religious elite.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I think you hit it right on that when you said the shepherds had an open heart.
Yes.
And, you know, I'd never seen the movie The Nativity Story.
Now, oh, yes,
like,
I have.
My dear beloved Mara, who loves her movies.
I have,
but it
yeah.
was on TV the other night.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the shepherds in that said, you know, I have hope, and I know my hope is going to be fulfilled. And he was the shepherd that the angel initially appeared to.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that kind of hit me. It's like, yeah, because the chief priests and the Pharisees could hide behind the law, their religious knowledge.
Yes, yes.
And yet here was somebody who didn't have a lot of religious knowledge but had a heart toward God.
Oh, amen.
And that's who the angel appeared to.
Amen.
And that's what God is looking for in us.
Yes.
Is a heart toward God.
Amen. That's it. That's why Mary was chosen, Pastor Jim.
Exactly.
That's why Elizabeth was chosen as the vessel to carry John the Baptist. It was the heart of these people that God was looking at.
Exactly.
And these shepherds, that's such a huge point. The angel says to the shepherds, this is what you're going to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger. And talk to me about why God chose to come to this earth in the form of a baby, number one. Number two, in such a lowly place. He was not born in the Hilton, was he?
No, he was born possibly, you know, we see, you know, pictures where it looks like kind of a barn, but it was probably just a cave.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, with the feeding, you know, they fed where they kind of kept the animals penned in.
Right.
And first of all, I mean, just in a manger, a feeding trough.
Right.
I mean, it's where they put the feed for the cows. And
couldn't have been real clean and sanitary.
Right. And how much more humble could you get?
Right.
And again, there's that theme. Jesus could have appeared or could have been born into, say, the high priest's family.
Right.
Or a leader, maybe Nicodemus's family, even,
right.
You know, somebody, a high-ranking, you know, Jewish official.
Exactly.
But here he was born to these, you know, this backwater couple from backwater Nazareth.
Backwater Nazareth, okay.
You know, I mean, Nazareth was kind of off the beaten
yes.
path a little bit. There
yes.
were some large towns around it, but Nazareth wasn't all that big. And remember what Nathanael said in the book of John.
Yes.
Can anything good come out of Nazareth? So it was kind of looked down upon.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, so here they were, these two humble people, and Mary gave birth in this humblest of places.
Yes.
And I think that's just, again, showing that God reaches out to everyone.
Amen. Amen.
And think of Jesus coming as a child.
Yes.
You know, it had to be a birth like that, and I don't want to get real theological, but you know, God could have appeared full grown.
Yes, right.
You know, but then he wouldn't have been really fully human.
Right. He had to go through the whole human experience, didn't he, from birth
right.
to death.
And, yeah, and, you know, the book of Hebrews says that made like us in all ways.
Amen, yes.
You know, God was made like us, so fully God and fully human at the same time.
Oh,
now, there's a mystery people have struggled with for 2,000 years. But, you know, but just to think, yeah, Jesus experienced everything.
Exactly.
From birth to death all the limitations of being human. He hungered. He got angry. He cried.
Right. All of it.
You know, I mean, he suffered right along with us. And again, the writer of Hebrews said, and he was tempted in every way such as we, yet he did not sin.
Wow. You know what? You have no idea because you don't have a sheet in front of you, but our next song is titled Mystery. Don't go anywhere. Stay on with me. But it is a big mystery by the group Sela. Listen to this song and then stay with me, Pastor Jim, and we'll come back.
The child was born on Christmas Day, born to save the world. But long before the world began, he knew his death was sure. The pain and strife secure, mystery, how he came to be a man. But greater still, how his death was in his plan. Son would die, and he still created man. Oh, what love is this, that his death was in his hands. The Christmas trees, they with presents all around, but Christmas brought a tree of life with blood that sacrificed the greatest gift.
Song, Pastor Jim, is it? I've never heard that song that she put on here. That is, it was in the plan of God, was it not? All of this, you know, God had a plan. And that song just eloquently speaks that, what we were just talking about. What a great mystery, you know? Go ahead, comment.
Well, you know, and I mentioned this a little bit. You know, it used to be, before I got saved, I mean, I always liked Christmas, and I got saved after the Charlie Brown Christmas special came out, and one part that Linus always says is so true, you know, where he says, this is what Christmas is all about. And it is a mystery, and I don't think the world, by and large, unless you know Jesus,
right,
I don't think you can really understand the depth of what Christmas is. Really
exactly.
Is. I mean, you can talk about the baby Jesus and all that, but wow! I mean, think, the Word became flesh.
Amen. Amen.
And you know, it's just hard sometimes to imagine. You know, I heard a story that, and it kind of sums up what God had to do in giving Jesus, was the man who controls the drawbridge, you may have heard this story, sees his son playing down in the gears, and yet there's a train coming.
Oh, boy. No.
So what does he do? He has to sacrifice his son.
Wow.
And, you know, in order to save all those people, and that's what God did.
Right. Yes.
And it is. It's a mystery. I mean, who can explain? I've got this real analytical mind. I love to wrestle with these issues. But who can really explain what happened and how it happened?
But it's so
that God
profound.
Became man, and yet
yes.
I'm just thankful he did.
Yes. It is. I mean, that God decided to become man and come to this earth. But I really believe with all my heart that this was in the heart and the plan of God from the very beginning, where, of course, we know God had no beginning, so it's always been there, this plan, right?
Right. And because some people think that, you know, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, that God had to come up with some contingency plan to win us back. And yet, you know, it says in Revelation, behold the Lamb slain from
yes,
the foundation
of the
earth.
No, it was always the plan.
It was in God's mind.
Right.
All that time.
Well, and I think part of that is he gave us free will and he knew we would fall. He knew Adam
exactly.
and Eve would fall and he knew what was going to happen. And he knew that he had to show these humans that he had created who he really was. And that is what he did in sending his son Jesus to this earth. And I think it's so profound to look at the life of Jesus and see the whole heart of God that Jesus went about healing. You mentioned it this morning, Acts 10:38. It says, Jesus
doing good and healing those oppressed of the devil.
Yes, even though he was oppressed by the devil, he went about healing and doing good. Right? And that's the essence of God the Father. So he sends his son to do the same thing. How many times do we see a father-son business? Maybe not as many times now as it used to be very popular, you know, Johnson and Johnson, you know, or whatever, the father-son, grandfather business, you know. And this is the business of God, if you will, to go about healing and doing good and to show us so we're not held in darkness. He said he came to bring the light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He came to appear so we would not be walking around without a flashlight. You know, Pastor Jim?
Exactly. Well, and Jesus himself said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Amen.
And I've come to show you
yes.
the Father.
Yes.
You know, and that's an error that was going on back then. It's an error that's still around now. We think that God is some big bearded old man sitting up in heaven with a baseball bat ready
right.
to bash us on the head if we step out of line. I mean, you know, Jesus spoke to the Jews and they were, the Pharisees were so rigid.
Yes.
That they couldn't allow for God to move outside the box.
Exactly. They were legalistic. They were legalistic
right.
and they had their rules. And don't you think this is why God did not send his son to a religious leader? Because he didn't want him growing up in that. He wanted him growing up in the simplicity of a home where there was love, you know, where Joseph stepped up to the plate and married Mary, even though she was pregnant, not by him. Right?
Exactly.
A home
exactly.
where there were a lot of children that came after Jesus. He had several brothers and sisters. We think 7 or 8, right?
Right. There was a whole bunch.
A whole bunch of them.
You know, all the boys are mentioned in the Bible.
Right. So, and it said he had sisters. So 7 or 8 kids came after Jesus. This was a big family. You know that this was a family of love. This was not strict high priest's home. They would not, a high priest and the religious leaders with their rules would not have allowed Jesus to be who he was. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And I don't think they would have had a true love.
Right.
For God.
Oh,
I
no.
mean,
no.
Like you said, he's the God of the impossible. God surprises
right.
us.
There's that surprise
and
word again.
The Pharisees had no room, nor neither did the Sadducees for
right.
that matter.
Right.
They just didn't have any room for surprises.
No, no room for surprises. And yet God does surprises all the time.
Oh,
amen. In this new year, Pastor Jim, we're going to talk about this at Beacon of Hope. The God of the surprise, you know, we're dealing right now with the God of the impossible. That's what we're talking about, that nothing is impossible with God, okay? And we see here in this whole story of this shepherds, what did God do? He surprised them. You know,
yeah.
He invaded their space. I love to say that because I believe that that's what God does in our lives. He comes in and he invades our space and our way of thinking and our way of trying to put God in a box. You know, that he's got to do it this way and exactly the way we think. And instead of, I think that's a huge point you made earlier, instead of bringing Jesus into a high priest religious home, he did this in such a unique way.
Right.
Isn't it cool?
And think too, it wasn't the religious leaders that came to worship him. You had
right.
the shepherds, and then you had these pagan magi from Persia.
Yes, the wise men
worshipped him.
Some people may not know that word you just said, magi. It's yeah. another word for wise men.
Wise men, the wise
magicians.
Men. And they were from Persia. They weren't even Jewish.
Right, they didn't even know what this was all about.
Right. I mean, they had some inkling. You know, they were kind of astronomers, and they obviously had studied the prophecies.
Right.
But they weren't believers.
Right.
And yet they came and brought gifts and worshiped the child.
Yes. Yes, they did. They came, they had seen a light, right, in the sky.
Right. Again, they
Again,
saw
light.
The star and
light.
They followed it.
Light.
And they, you know, it rested over Bethlehem, and the magi went in, the wise men went in there, and it says Matthew writes that they worshipped him and gave him gifts.
Yes, amen. What do you think? Don't you find that interesting, Pastor Jim? That these shepherds. And the wise men, shepherds and the wise men. When we see a little nativity scene that somebody has on their table, you've got the manger scene, and you've got shepherds, and you've got wise men.
Right.
You don't have high priests. You don't have any of that, do you?
Nope. I'm looking at mine right now, and exactly. I have Mary, Joseph, the baby. Some shepherds and some wise men.
That's exactly right. And I think it's interesting, the wise men, to me, part of that symbolism for them is that they were learned or taught, they were well-versed in, like you said, astronomy and astrology and all that. But they were also, interestingly enough, sensitive enough to know there's something different about that star up there. What
right.
is going on? And they were in curious enough, I guess, to find out, you know?
Right, and I just think it's amazing that, again, it shows that God is no respecter of persons.
That's a huge point right here, Pastor Jim, huge.
Because here they come from what was then Persia.
Right.
And they come and worship the child.
Exactly.
And it's like God saying, okay, I've opened the doors to everyone.
Amen. Amen. Just like the angel said to the shepherds, I'm going to read it again from Luke chapter 2, about verse 9 or 10 in the Message Bible. The angel said to the shepherds, don't be afraid. I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody worldwide. A Savior has just been born in David's town, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is what you're to look for, a baby wrapped in a blanket and lying in a manger. Let's go to this song by Wynonna. It's the Messiah. Pastor Jim, hang with me, and we'll do more on the other side of this song.
I sure will.
It must have been something being born in a manger. With the sheep from the fields and the stars shining over your head. It must have been something. and three wise men. On their knees before a newborn, with their eyes all aglow, and in their hearts they know it's the Messiah. He's come at last. It's the Messiah. He's come at last. It must have been something speaking the word of your Father. With the promise of life and peace forever. It must have been something walking the streets of Jerusalem. With the sins of the world on the innocence of a lamb, soon everyone will know it's the Messiah. He's come at last. It's the
Praise God. Wow. What a song, Pastor Jim. Don't you just love that?
I love that song.
Wynonna does such a great job. And it was just exactly what we were talking about, that the Messiah came to this earth. Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth to save us all from our sin. Jesus, the Savior, Jehovah, our salvation. In the Greek, it's Yeshua. No, it is Joshua, right? In the Hebrew, yeah. It's Yeshua. Do you want to comment on his name there before we pray for people that may be listening right now?
Well, the name, it's funny because it was a fairly common name.
Right.
But, you know, like you said this morning, when you, especially in that culture, in the Hebrew culture, names meant a lot.
Yes.
You know, we just name kids today because we like the name. But you were named, you know, as something maybe hopeful of what you would be, or maybe something that happened at birth or something about you at birth. You know, I think of Jacob and Esau. Jacob, because
right.
He was grasping at Esau's heel when he came out of the womb, was called Jacob, which means heel grabber.
Right.
Esau, because he was red.
Right.
So, and that's why the angel said, you shall name him Jesus.
Yes.
Yehoshua, the Lord is my salvation.
Amen. Amen. And that's what God designed for his son to be named. And as you said, all through the word, the names of people meant something. It meant their character, what they did. So here's what Jesus came to do. He came to save us from our sin. He came to heal our bodies. Did he walk around this earth healing bodies, Pastor Jim? Or did,
no,
when,
sure did.
Well, are you sure? Did when sick people came up to him, did he just say, nah, it's all right. You keep your sickness. You keep your leprosy. You keep your... whatever.
There is not one ever recorded incident in any of the Gospels where somebody came to Jesus for healing.
Right.
And went away sick.
Right. It's not there. It's not there,
right.
Because
he
Jesus healed.
He healed them all.
Amen. So he's our Savior. And in that word, it also means healing. He is our deliverance. He's our safety. He's our helper. He is our prosperer. So there might be somebody out there today, Pastor Jim, that's had a really tough year, that's had a lot of financial struggle, that's had loss in their life. Maybe they've lost a loved one recently. Maybe they've lost a relationship, a divorce has happened, or whatever. Maybe they are hurting emotionally, clear down to their core right now. Does Jesus care about that, Pastor Jim?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I mean, salvation is not just fire insurance. It's not just to keep you out of hell.
Exactly.
It goes so much more beyond that. And you've hit it. You've hit on it. It's healing. It's salvation. It's,
yes.
It's deliverance. It's protection. It's the abundant life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give it in its abundance.
Amen. So if somebody's listening right now, and by the way, these shows do go on our website at a later date, so whatever time you listen to this, if you are needing healing in your body right now, can we say, Pastor Jim, that God wants to heal their body now?
Amen.
Amen. We believe that at Beacon of Hope, and we've seen tremendous healings, healings of cancer this year. We've seen all kinds of miracles this year because we serve the God of the impossible. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Woo. Pastor Jim, we're going to tag team this prayer time. I'm going to start by praying for the sick, and I want you to take it then and pray over those that need financial blessings and need a touch from God in jobs and things like that. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, God, and we bring these that are listening. Our dear friend Lloyd in Indiana, who needs a touch in his eyes right now. God, we speak healing in the name of Jesus to Lloyd's eyes. Be healed, Lloyd, in the name of Jesus. We speak directly to you right now, and we declare that your eyes are healed and whole in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Those that are sick in their body in any way, those that have pain in their body, we speak to that pain right now, and we declare that you are healed by the name of Jesus, that Jesus came to this earth, and he bore your sicknesses and your diseases in his body and your pain on the cross, that you might be healed. You were already healed by what Jesus did. Now receive it by faith. Go ahead, Pastor Jim, with
Amen.
Yours.
And Father, we thank you for the promise that you've given us, that you want us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers.
Amen.
And Father, we just claim that for people this year, because we know it's been a rough financial time, and Father, we know that you are the God of abundance.
Yes.
That you give us
yes.
abundance that we might give back to you.
Amen.
Father, we just ask that if there's anybody out there listening who's had financial setbacks, we just ask you, Lord, that you would just open the doors of heaven and bless them.
Amen.
Father, bless them that they might be a blessing to others.
Yes.
Father, just pour out your abundance upon them. And not just financial, Father, but just pour out an abundance of peace, an abundance of wholeness upon them.
Woo.
Father, for those people that have maybe lost a loved one, either through death, through a breakup of some sort. Father, just for relationships where things are not right. Father, we ask that you would come in and heal that.
Amen.
Father, we ask that you would just be the God of comfort to those
yes.
who have suffered loss. Pour forth your Holy Spirit upon them.
Woo.
Comfort them in that loss, Father, in Jesus' name. And repair and restore where there's fellowship in a marriage, in a relationship that's broken, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus that you would restore that and make those two one.
Amen. Ooh. Amen. Praise God.
Oh, thank you, Father.
Amen. Pastor Jim, I felt God all over those prayers. I'll tell you
Amen.
What, we are going to hear some answers to prayer. You can write us at prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com and give us those praise reports. And we're going to be doing a better job in 2010 of really keeping track of all these, although we do keep track of them, but we're going to be telling you more about it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. The praise reports. We're going to do a better job of getting those praise reports out. Pastor Jim, final thoughts. What do you feel like God is saying to our listening audience right now?
Just be like the shepherds. Come to Jesus.
Yes.
I mean, and don't let it take an angel to have to open up the skies to tell you. Just know that God loves you.
Yes.
Enough that he took on our our flesh, our humanity.
Yes,
to
amen.
Show how much he loves you. And I just pray that if there's anybody listening who's not saved.
Yes, amen. Declare that.
Really explore.
Right.
You know, the Gospels and find out who Jesus is.
Amen. Read the book of John. That's what we like
Amen.
To recommend. You begin with that and find out all about Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, you can pray that prayer right now. Just ask Jesus to come into your heart and live in you and ask him to forgive you of any sin, anything that you've done that is not pleasing to him. And
Amen.
Welcome him into your heart, because that's what he wants to do. That's the best gift you can give yourself and everybody around you, is to
Amen.
Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior during this season. And you can do that right now by faith. You just reach out and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me for anything I've ever said or done that was not pleasing to you. Come and live in me. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that God raised him from the dead. That's what you declare. And you will then be his child, saved by grace.
Amen.
Praise God. Pastor Jim, it's a joy. I'm going to do a wrap up here, and we'll see you Wednesday night. Wednesday night is our candlelight service at 7 o'clock. Go to our website, 3580 Almerton Road in Clearwater. At the Executive Inn is where we are temporarily meeting. We welcome you to join us Wednesday night. It's going to be great, isn't it, Pastor Jim?
Oh, amen. I can't wait.
It's going to be a great service. Music and just sharing and communion and candlelight.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just going to be great. Pastor Jim, thank you. You're wonderful. We love you. We love you. We love you at Beacon of Hope. You're a blessing to so many. Thank you for your time with us today.
Not a problem. And God bless you, Pastor.
All right. God bless you. All right. So it's been a joy to be with you again this Sunday, live as always, every week on this radio station. We want you to become a partner with us in the new year. We'll tell you more about that probably starting next week. But we'd love to have you join us in partnership for this radio broadcast. We've been on the air 2.5 years. Believe it or not, we began April of 07. So in April of 10, we will be celebrating our third anniversary on the radio every Sunday live 90-minute show. We love coming into your homes, your cars, whatever, your computer, and sharing the Word of God with you. Beacon of Hope, our mission is where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives. It's been a great time with you again today. We invite you to make use of our prayer team, prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Write your request. It'll go to our prayer team. You'll be prayed for. You will get your answer. God is in the business of answering prayer. He is the God of the impossible. We love to close every week with this song, It's Not Far to Jesus. And dear one, it is not far to Jesus. He came to this earth for you. It's not far. God bless you. Have a great week. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister saying it's been fun. See you next week.
Loving arms are open wide. Close your eyes and he will lead you safely to his side. There's no
Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel, and KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.